Okay, cool. So, Scully, can you tell us about how you got started second landing? You mentioned that your grandma put you in the Young Men Olympian.
Well, my grandmother was affiliated with, knew a lot of the old guys, because she cooked. She was a cook at one of the restaurants. Mm. And, you know, just like the second line goes down certain streets where she knew all the people in the second line, and it was a normal thing for everybody. So when she started bringing me to the second line, as she started bringing me to the second line, the more and more she started, I liked to dance and to the music. The old guy, Mr. Bucky, told him, say, Leon, you need to put him in a group with us. Hmm. And that's pretty much where it started. I started second lining with them.
How old were you?
I say about 12 mm-hmm. when I jumped off.
So, kind of the same time that you were starting tapping down in the corner.
Yeah, but
maybe?
I was tapping way younger.
You know, okay.
We were out there just hustling. It was just tapping in the corner was like hustling at Winn-Dixie over there.
Right.
Carrying bags. So you call, hey, ma'am, you want me to carry your bag? Uh-huh. And in the process, you give me a, if I tap for you, you want to see me tap, I tap for you if you mean to give me. So it was a hustling thing, but not only that, but exposing you to the culture of music and dancing. We danced to the music that was coming out the club. You just tap to whatever you get by a club, that, and you felt the club music was playing good enough, and you get out there and tap. Mm-hmm. And people mm-hmm. knew New Orleans for that. Mm-hmm. When you came to the quarters, the tourists looked for that. That's why the quarters is the way it is now, and you got all these guys that don't even must tap no more. Mm-hmm. If you see somebody that's tapping, it's somebody that told them about that, but then ran them cats out. I mm-hmm. see all everybody else that won't mind. Everybody wants to stand up there like statues and paint themselves gray, gold, and bronze. They cool with that. But with New Orleans, French Quarter was originally about tap dancing and jazz music. You go down there now, the clubs, I'm 47, it's clubs that I have never been in now that are dominantly and predominantly mixed with young black people that's down there in the quarter. Whereas when we were going, you could pound on your hand the clubs that black people hung in. Now mm-hmm. they're in every club. Hmm. They're down there, and then it's a whole nother life in the quarters at nighttime. Mm-hmm. See, you can go in the quarters in the daytime, it's nice. Tourist mm-hmm. atmosphere. See, at nighttime, it transforms into a whole different city. This is why you have all what you see, dudes doing what they doing, because it'd be a whole different life. Mm-hmm. Youngsters that's out there hanging, they running around. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's in their own little different world doing their own little different things, you know? Mm-hmm. But me being the age I was, I never got comfortable with the quarters. I have never been in the strip club during the quarters. I could tell you the places I done been. I done been to Pat O'Brien's. I done been in the Quarter Two Sisters. I done been in Ralph and Cacu. I done been in T.G. Friday. I done been in the House of Blues. I done been in a few places. But when you go to talking about that boy name is Chris Owens. Never mm-hmm. been in there. Any strip joints from Hustlers to whoever, the Hollywood Swingers. I ain't been in none of them. Mm-hmm. He probably asked me as I'm going. Excuse me.
Yeah.
He's probably asked me as I'm going. Wins watch that. Mm-hmm. What's up, man? Man, you already know what's happening with me on Wednesdays, but you know I'm hooking up with my girls, Rachel and Danella. We going to hit a band. You ain't about that. Don't call my phone. I'm doing an interview, bro. I'm on it.
Now he is too.
Now you doing a interview, you on my interview, bro. You got me on the mic. The people got the mic on me, and I'm talking on the phone. We gonna have to edit this out. But yeah, we gonna listen to the band. You coming? All right, bring some some real nigga fingers, man. Some God, you heard me? But I'm in McDonald's on Claiborne. We gonna be in here for about a few minutes. They doing a little interview. Then we gonna go to TBC. Catch that. Go over there by TBC because she got to do an interview over there too.
Oh,
all right.
I mean,
just hit me up, big bud. All right. Yeah. But another, you know, then, you know, me being a dancer, I had you acquire bragging rights. I was the cat that when somebody talked about they was bad, mm-hmm. somebody in the crowd said, man, we need to go get Skelly, man. He talking about he could Skelly. Well, they got a dance contest, and they giving away such and such amount of money mm-hmm. at the dope. They got a dude that won 2 weeks in a row, talking about ain't nobody going to beat him. It's a gong show. Now you're getting there, and if you get finished, the crowd, they're gong. It was called gong show. Uh-huh. So now I'm popping up at every little club that got a gong show, or if they got a talent show somewhere, I'm popping up. All right? They had the Packer Theater that's right there on Rampart in the back. Now this is where Ray Charles used to come on Ramp Up when he came to the city and did shows, and we're playing them little small pubs. Mm-hmm. Ramp Up Street was where that was. The pack of theaters on Ramp Up Street.
Huh.
So
uh-huh.
we went to this place one night, and he got the guy. He said he got a gong show, so we signed up for the gong show. We won for like 6 weeks in a row. They thought it was a fluke. So people went to pro, y'all. I said the crowd is the ones who's judging the gong show. But we were so good that, you know, it started making me, we go dance for Patti LaBelle at the World Fair. Man, I thought I hadn't arrived, boy. You couldn't tell me I wasn't a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? It's strange to say, when people walk up to my kids, they say, y'all know who he is? My kids looking at them like, what you mean, do y'all know? Yeah, we know who he is. That's my daddy. He said, well, no, you don't know who this is. He a legend, man. That boy, that used to, they ain't had nobody. And you go to tell them, so they be like, man, dad, you can't go nowhere by everybody knowing. I said, because I went everywhere. St. Mary's dances, Xavier Prep dances, Warren Easton dances, Superdome dances, house party. Man, I was so bad at dancing. These women used to come to the little club called, at the Young Men Club.
Mm-hmm.
The lady would come in the club, she said, I came to that club every weekend just to watch you dance. She said, I would never approach you about dancing because you dance too good. And that was intimidating for me sometimes when I would walk up to you and grab your hand, you're like, you dance too good. No, you gonna show me off. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna make you look good. Come on, you know, you're like, no, then I'm like, no, your footwork too good. Rachel, you go dance. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we get out there have fun. So it was intimidating sometimes. So I'm like, no, I ain't gonna show you off. I'm gonna show you some steps. And that's what it became for me to grab a little group in the group of people. Them kids kept begging me, like, Skelly, we want to be in a group. And my mama, like, look. All these daggone kids you got coming in front of my door, being about a group. I'ma tell you what, you get to be talking. We went right over here, which is City Trend 9, was probably Kent's or another little store. They had Wolfman jogging suits. They were red and blue, and they had another color that was red and green. The suits wasn't no more than it was $20. So I went bought me a suit, and I'm like, well, it's our new dance. We gonna dance in these, you know, like. Man, why everybody ain't getting it? So now we going around to the parents, telling the parents, y'all got to get y'all children. If you want to be a part of the group, they got to get a jogging suit. All the children go home like you send them home with a paper from school. Skelly said, you got to buy me a jogging suit. She, what my child tell me? Yeah, he in the group. You got to get him a jogging suit. We all looked apart. So now it's my mama. I'm putting this money in. Baby, my mama went and bought us a full roll, not a half a roll. We didn't go pull it up out of somebody's house. My mama went and bought a full roll of linoleum that you put on the floor. The linoleum rug, the carpet, mm-hmm. the linoleum you put on your floor.
Mm-hmm.
We used to roll in a van. My mama had a customized van. We used to take our linoleum and roll it up on the track, on the top, and tie it on top of the rack. And everywhere we went, from City Park, we ain't had to have no stage. We put it in grass, put it on top of the grass, and go to spinning on our head. People like, ah. So my mama, like, overwhelmed. We going, we dancing. We down by St. Louis Cathedral one night. We getting it in. Little dude, I know they got these two white men standing there watching us. So I done did something. And I done came to the back of the line. The man walks up to me. Take this card. Get your manager to call me. Yes, sir. I sure will. What's your name? Oh, you. What's your? Sure will. Now, they had a club in Chalmette. So I go home. I'm like, my mouth like this. I'm like, Mom. Boy, I got somebody that wanted to make some money. She like, what kind of money? I'm like, dancing for some money. I want the whole group. How much money? They ain't gonna pay y'all no money. I said, Ma, I told the man you was the manager. You gotta find out how much money it is.
That's your job.
You gotta get your cut. The group gotta get their cut. So she called the man. The man called and told her he wanted to see us. We go to a ballroom. Mind you, all us under the age, and I'm under the age. They ain't serving us nothing but pitchers of Sprite, pitchers of Coke, and pitchers of water. We in there eating potato chips. They feeding us and everything. No alcohol being served, not right? Why? My mama said, Wellington, you noticed, you seen that white lady? And I said, what you mean? You ain't see that white lady wiping your face? I said, Ma, I didn't realize the woman was wiping my face. She like, oh, yeah, the white woman wiping your face. It was all into it, but it was a club. We went to Chalmette. It wasn't a black club.
Mm.
We in a white club, and a man unlocked the club, and we danced. And when I tell you we danced for like 3 hours, he paid us good. Guess how much we left that way?
How much?
Our first paycheck was $1,500.
Whoa.
Boy, my mama showed me that check. I'm like, Ma, you serious? All that money for us? She said, boy, y'all good. Because the man gave her the money. He had a limousine parked outside the front, stretching limousine. He went set her in the back. So I'm like, but damn, this high. Nate, they got a limousine outside, security outside. they waiting on us to dance, and when we get in there, it's a bunch of people, but it ain't no mixed club. So everybody, I was like, I had to go in the crowd and say, look, bro, don't y'all get nervous. Can't look the people in the face. Find something on the wall and stare at that. Don't just look at me, because y'all going to get nervous and mess up. I said, don't look at the people all hard. Then you, because you know the mic, they in there drinking, and everybody just in tune. You know how you go somewhere like, I don't know if y'all ever watched the Blues Brothers. Yeah. When they went to that club and they had the fence. Remember they started off and everybody standing like. And they going looking like, man, we got to do something fast. Y'all, we going to get our butt tore up in here. They got a cage. They throwing everything in the bar at them. So they had to, you know, I'm saying the same thing. When we get there, my mama like, look, we wanted to enter. We entered this contest. We was entering this contest at the Superdome. Everybody over the city come to the dome. My mama said, I done paid all this money for y'all to get jogging suits, buy Manolium for y'all. Y'all go in this Superdome dance, y'all better place. I don't care if it's third place. Y'all better place first, second, or third. I'm like, man, our career's in this jeopardy. We got to go home with a trophy. Now all the trophies like this. One like that, one like that, one like this, bam, bam. I'm looking at the big one. I'm going to walk out with the big one. My mama said, my mama paid $5 a head. $5 a head to get almost 18 or 20 kids in those things. She the only adult. Baby, she's standing. She done gave us our pep talk. And she said, look, y'all better place. Because if y'all don't place, some of y'all might be walking home. But I'm looking around. I'm saying to myself, we right shit away. It's funny. It ain't fun, but we'll be embarrassed to walk home. My mom got a whole van. We got a trailer. Oh, man, you messed up, man. You got us walking. Hello? Well, I'm cooling, man. I'm doing an interview, bro. I'm doing an interview with some of my people. I'm going to call you right back when I get through. Huh? Yeah, but I ain't at home. I'm getting ready to go listen to the band on St. Bernard. That's what I'm telling you. She there. If you see that Cadillac out there, she there. Know what you might have to do? You might have to knock on the door and get my grandson to go call her for you. You know where she's there. Oh, all right. You got to come mess with me in the morning time, man, or something. But let me hit you back, P. Oh. You in New Jersey? Man, you doing good, but you'll never want... Bring me something back from New Jersey, man.
You don't want anything.
You with Jewel, tell Jewel, a real Magnolia, needs something from him. I'm going to holler at him. I saw him in the House of Blues. I talked to him the last time I hollered at him. But, man, you got to come holler at me when you get back from Jersey, bro. All right, fam. Be good. Let me ask you this phone. All right. My niece calling. See my phone. Hello? Hello? Yeah. No, I'm gonna try to get some. Listen, no, because I'm in the interview. That's why I ain't hollering. I'm doing an interview. I got these people that I'm doing an interview with, and my phone blowing up. I've been answering 5 calls back to back to back, and a recorder still going on. So that's why I was calling you. I'm gonna call you when I get out of this, finish this interview. No, I'm gonna call you when I get finished, Keisha. All right. Man. I had to tell her, Keisha, not today. Not, no. Somebody say, Skelly, don't never talk. Don't break it down to me that simple. I like my niece, she coming. You love me, Uncle? Yeah, I love you, Keisha. You know that. Why are you doing me? Uncle. I say, Keisha, Thursday. Not Monday. Not Tuesday. Not Wednesday. Not Wednesday evening. Thursday. Don't call me till Thursday. Don't you know that girl still call me 2 days before Thursday? Uncle. Yeah, Keisha. You at home? Yeah, Keisha. I'm coming. I can come by your uncle. Yeah, Keisha. My daughter to me, give me, that's your uncle. You be acting too, baby. Keisha don't like my mom. My daughter don't like that. But you know, so we go in a contest. My mama's standing in the back of the stage, and I'm nervous because I'm the stone. So we dance and we do our routine. After the routine, the last part of the routine, we fall. If you ever seen a group do the domino effect, where the first person falls and everybody fall behind them, but I'm the tallest person, so I catch the last person. And I do like a free, but I don't fall. I catch the last domino effect person and just break down into a pose. I don't fall down. I just break down on my knees, and that ends the show, right? So when we finish, you know, you just freeze and you don't hear nothing. Then all of a sudden, the crowd erupts. You're like, we might have a chance. So now we're on the side of the stage tally. My mom looking at us like she's shaking. You're like, y'all better please. But y'all did good. I think y'all might have first place, but I don't know. Y'all might place. She said it, we all nervous. I said, boy, if we don't get no trophy, boy, we going to be in trouble. Somebody said, man, we going to get a trophy, Skelly. We ain't mess up. We didn't. Our routine was flawed. And I see when the people say, third place, they call a group. Second place, they call a group. So we looking around for, man, call up a second or third. We might not even be winning first place, boy. We going to have to walk home. I'm like, man, they say first place winner. And I went to turn around, look at my mom. I'm like, man, it's phony, man. Them people cheating us. Footloose breakers. Boy, I ran up on the stage. I ran up on the stage and snatched a trophy and stood up in front of on the stage and showed everybody. Like, I'm like, you got something to say now? You? Look, the eye lit up like, boy, we went back in the hood. We had our little party and then people cooked food. But I think that is why I'm the person that I am, because everything I ever learned, that's why my daughter the way she is. Taranika was a child. When she first started, she did just like I did. We get in the house and you tell her to dance, she could dance. She would watch a video all day, 106 and Park, all day. See that evening? Baby, she got it. Beyonce step, if she doing a better role, she got everything down pat. But she never knew how to count steps. And I told her, in order for you to be a dancer, you have to know how to count your steps up. It ain't just jumping into a routine and go 5, 6, 7, pop, boop, pop, boop. You know what I'm saying? But you ain't just going to, you got to learn how to count the steps. So she had a contest she wanted to enter at school. She wanted to dance one part of it, and she wanted the second line one part. But now I am her coordinator slash DJ, so I got to tape the tape. I got to tape the music, stop it, then tape the second line music after that so that the song, the tape would go straight into the second line music. So we at the house for a week. What you gonna do, Taranika? I'm gonna second line and dance. I'm gonna take a line and dance. So people telling her already, girl, you ain't gonna place. You ain't gonna win. She come home upset. Like, daddy, they telling me I ain't gonna place. I ain't gonna win. I said, well, do you think that in your heart? I said, do you think you have a chance to win? She said, yeah. I said, well, we gonna win then. I said, I don't even hear nothing else about losing. I said, if you don't come back with that trophy because you had doubt already, I said, go get that money. So everybody, like, shocked. See, when the music came on, she danced, we went in, and it broke down the second line music after she started second line, and she shook the whole, everybody in the audience, how Taranika won that, but she didn't mess up, she wasn't scared, and she did everything I told her to do. See, from then on, she was a bug, and we go to second line, she gone, she attached to me, she gone, I'm going to second line with my dad, and I'm going to second line. Oh, them children don't be worrying about me, they like that right now, we separated, we still communicate. We starting to communicate more now because you see what you caused. You thought your children were going to rebel with you and be over, okay, my that's cool. We going to go with Preston. They don't like Preston. They told Preston they don't like him. They done told her, I don't like him. I'm going by my daddy. She in the car with him. Oh, Taranika jumps out. They were supposed to be going to eat. And he put, like me and you talking, and we eat. They right there. They must be sharing food. He decides to go put his hand on her food, and she clicked out on him. So when my wife say, well, we share food, meaning her and her. She said, Taranika said, well, what they got to do with me? She said, well, what you would have did if your daddy at Welland would have did it? Taranika said, I wouldn't have did nothing because that's my daddy. He can go in my food. He ain't my daddy. I don't know that man. He ain't got nobody putting his hands in my food. She jumped up from the table and left. She called, asked where she was at. I'm going by my dad. She tell Preston, my wife tell Preston, oh, she going by her sister. She didn't want to see you. He was going by me. Uh-huh. You heard me? So I said, what's happening with you and this dude? I said, you in a relationship with this dude? You scared of him? He controlling you or something? Something you know you done got into? Now you don't know how to get out of it? You scared of him? Because he ain't told me nothing. He ain't looked at me, told me nothing. And I told her, I said, if he say anything to my children, they come back and tell me, I'm coming over there. Because he ain't supposed to be saying nothing to them. They don't. He ain't coming up for them. He coming, but you trying to win them over, thinking you gonna get in with that. The only person except to him is her son, John Mario. He ain't done no more. You know what I'm saying? My other son, Mario, Jonathan hate him. The first night he pulled up at the house, I got the number, I got his picture, the color of his car, and his license plate. So if I wanted to do him something, don't you think I had a chance to do him something? I'm not worried about him. I'm not even worried about her no more. Because the only thing that hurt me, like I said, and it's being real, I was really dedicated to my marriage. I got your name tatted on me. You ain't got my name tatted nowhere on you. So it showed me that my love for you is way more bigger than your love for me. You see what I'm saying? So now, I feel some type of way because you knew how I felt, but I think you just did it, call yourself doing that to feel, okay, he can't do nothing. So now when you started messing with this clown, I told you about him, oh, that's my friend. He married. I said, what that got to do with it? But when I post a picture of one of my high school friends on my page, ooh, Ooh, it's hell and damnation now. Oh, I'ma send you your papers in the mail. You ain't candy. Ha ha. That's the text she sent me after she seen us in the store. But I only did that to show you a punk. And I have never had a problem with getting girls. At school, my girl met a girl I'm talking Candy, who I'm talking to now. Her and one of the girls that she best friends with, they like this. They BFF. Guess what the girl just told her last night, night before last. They drank in her house. She said, "What, Candy? Let me tell you something. Don't get upset, you know. But I was sweet on Wellington too." So she called me on the phone. "Oh, you ain't tell me Michelle liked you too." I was liked by a lot of people. I'm saying I was liked, but I mean it's just being real. She was on. We remember we went to reminiscing, and it was like we went back to childhood days when you be on the phone 2:30 in the morning. You know the phone. You fall asleep and you hear the dial tone in the back. You been on the phone all night. That's how it was. Now we got cell phone. We on the phone 4:30 in the morning, reminiscing on old time. You remember that? You know I used to be so happy to walk down the street and the dude said, "Oh, that's Skelly girlfriend right there." Oh, they wouldn't mess with me. Everybody knew who I was, and we went to reminiscing on how funny it was. But that stopped. That was 28 years ago. She was a virgin at the time. I was cool. She should have been my first baby mom. I ended up getting paralyzed. We lost contact on Facebook. She said she saw fine friends, some people you should know. Well, I didn't get Radcliffe. Oh! It pressed request, so I pressed, I say Candy Hardy. It's the only one I know, one Candy. And that's where it went. But now I found, both of the quarterbacks for our team, for Booker T and high school people, and I went on my page and posted my picture from I'm graduating 1985. Everybody from 85 from Booker T. Oh, what's up? Well, it's you saying, you know. So everything I did in my lifetime, I always competed in basketball, football, dancing. But I had people that hated, but it was always people that loved me for being, man, that dude's dancing tonight. I had this little girl came up to me and it made me feel so good. She come off of Josephine. And she came to play cards at my daughter's house. And somebody asked her, did she know me? She said, "Know who?" "That man like my daddy. That man took care of me when I was a little girl. Anything I wanted," and I did that. If the little girl, I seen a little girl and I knew her mama didn't have much, she'd come up to me, "Skelly, I got $15. I need $20 to get my hair did. Here you go, baby. Look at you." I said, "Come back and let me see your hair." Oh, Skelly, I need $10. My mama gave me $10, but I need $10 to give me some gym shorts and my gym shirt. I don't have. Here you go, baby. I see you on a porch and your children sitting on a porch. And I come up to you and Danella, "How you doing?" You know, I can take your kids and get them something from the store, some doo-doos or whatever, popsicles. It might be hot. Well, go ahead, Skelly. I go to the store, buy them popsicles, but when I go in the store, I'm going to buy food too. So when I come back, I got a whole bag of food. Here you go. Cook. If you cook, fix me a plate. That's all I ask for. I ain't asked to come to your door. Just fix me whatever. If you go prepare the food, fix me a plate and I'm good. Oh, scatter the food finish. Like what everybody in the block saying. How you getting the dough? I showed them I wasn't about nothing else but being nice. Give us some food. If you didn't have no food in your house, then you got a dinner tonight. That means a lot. I was taught that way. You don't give nobody no money, but you ain't gonna refuse nobody no food. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's just plain and simple. So dudes was like, man, they trying to find out how I do things, but I was only doing things decent and all how I was taught. Again, that comes back with my grandma used to always tell me, "You can't take the car unless you take the calf." This woman got 15 kids. That man took care of 15 of them children. When you think about the old days when the man worked, he worked on the railroad, he had a good job, because when he went home, he had some mouths to feed. You tell somebody to marry somebody with 15 kids. What?
Yeah.
15 children? Woo! Well, you got to feed all of them, you got to clothe them. What?
Yeah.
No, indeed. You know what I'm saying? We losing our kids because guys don't want to be in relationship already made relationship. And I've seen guys talking about, "I'm going out there and give me a little young girl, no babies." You know, that's what you going to get. A young girl that's still probably a baby. Because she might not can't cook for you and probably can't do nothing but fix some ramen noodles. You coming home from working and think you going to get a little meal. She might have a McDonald's special for you over there. A value meal and everything. A kid's meal with a toy. Saying, "Oh, babe, I got the toy for a souvenir for you, too."
Buy us a $2.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But and they done lost that. So my thing was, this is why through dancing, through music, I give back, I mentor. I give back to children that don't have parents. I mean, daddy. I got guys call me, they say, "Man, you know, you like my daddy figure, Skelly. I can sit down and talk to you about stuff, and I know when I leave, I'm going to be in the right perspective of mind on how to handle that." But I mean, if we are individuals or we are involved and have a means of touching people, I don't feel that it's good to pollute and mess people's minds up or tell them the boy the phony story that they be telling to make them go out there thinking that's what it is. You got to give them real life in order to really appreciate who you is. And when you telling them something that's real and when they identify with that, they know one thing. If I go to him, he not going to lie to me. He not going to sugarcoat it. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to tell me something that'll make me go out there and get myself killed because he won't be down. I'm going to treat you like I want you to treat my child or somebody else that's adult in my shoe to do my child.
Right.
If you're doing something wrong, put him on the side and say, man, that's wrong. That ain't the proper way of doing that. You got to have respect for the people around you. Respect yourself. His ways of doing things. My son yesterday, I looked at him playing basketball. And just to see court respected. After every game he played, he went around all the players and shook hands, mm-hmm. whether they lost or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you know your child has arrived and understanding respect. You know what I'm saying? They played a good little game. They run it hard. After every game, good game, man. Good game, man. Good game, you know. Yeah. And that's camaraderie of people respecting you as an individual. Now, I'm not his bird dad. I'm just his stepdad. But he'll tell his bird dad, you ain't did nothing but bird me. You ain't taught me nothing how to be a man or how to act when I'm around people. He right now, 20-something years old, ain't even got a child. Good, you ain't ready for nothing.
Scully, when you were young and first in the Young Men Olympian, were those people that mentored you and taught you some of the things that you're talking about now? Was that...
And when we first started the Social Pleasure Club, everything about the club is just what it is. It teaches you different man skills, dressing. Some kids don't really know how to tie a tie. We do that. I go to a mentoring class and try to show them how to tie a tie because they don't think that's a need to know. They'll put on a clip tie. They don't know what shiny shoes is. So when you got in those groups molded you into men, really. It wasn't really about second line. It's about growing up, knowing how to dress. Learning how to tie a tie. Not just really learning how to be a young man, really. You know what I'm saying? Everything else came after. The second line and the camaraderie that came afterwards. But to being in the second line and grew you up. It made you grow up to be a man. Then you learn how to do a lot of stuff that they don't do now.
Yeah.
Social Pleasure Club. They're not take their members like they used to and teach them how to sew. They're like the Indians do. Mm-hmm. The Indians teach you how to sew a suit. Eventually, you'll be sewing your own suit. I don't have time to entertain sewing your suit and sewing my suit. So I have to teach you how to sew. And when I teach you how to sew, then that means I done taught you, you're going to teach somebody else. You're going to teach that person's going to teach somebody else. And it's a revolving thing. Everybody teaches. But now, nobody don't want to teach. Hmm. Everybody just want, well, I could do that and charge on their leg. The group who start, you're starting the groups in, the groups are not teaching no more. Zell, my group president, he learned, you know what I'm saying? But it was, you learn how to second line. They had you used to have practice and everything too. Just like Indian practice. You had second line practice.
Really? Like dance practice?
Yeah. Huh. We had formation. It's like you were doing a parade. We had formations. And I'm going to do that when we start parade.
I've seen that.
You, yeah. You catch a few groups do it. You have formation where they might stand, they might line up. They got 15 of them. Everybody line up on side right. by side. One of them might blow the whistle. And you see them come into one circle, and they come in one line, and they might second line. Then they'll stop. They may stop and break down, put this. But all that was taught. You don't teach that no more. That's why I went to Indian thing. A lot of that went away because they don't know how to shoot up gang signs. They don't know what the Indian signs are. They just play Indian.
Yeah.
But it was something that went with that. You know?
What about the steps? Like, did they teach the steps, or did they teach the formation?
It taught you the formation, and you really picked up your steps just like I told y'all. Y'all pick up y'all steps on what you know how to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a comfort zone for you. You can't really look at somebody else's feet and think that you're going to learn or do their steps. You know what I'm saying? It's that I watch Rachel. I watch Danella. I take a little from Danella, take a little from Rachel, and make it my own. All right? You might have a little 1-2 step where you slide to this side. She may have her little 1-2 step where she get on her toes. Yeah, you know, it's something different, but I'm still in moves, and that's where all that come from. You take moves from other people that you see do and incorporate it into your own. That's what second lining is. You make it your style, Everybody's not flashy. Everybody's not fast. Everybody just like to be cool. Some people break a sweat and get soaking wet. Well, I'm that one. I'm one of those guys. But then you got some that's like Joe. Joe don't know Joe ain't about getting sweaty unless it's for Easter Sunday. When you got a parade. But now you see him, he's so cool. He laid back. Now, if he feeling himself, he might want to. But me, I'm going to get my money to work. 4 hours on the street, you're going to see me working. Now, I ain't got nobody pushing me. Joe going to have somebody pushing him. Joe cool. Joe be one.
When you were young and in Young Men Olympia, because they're kind of a more traditional club, right?
Right,
were you able to bring your tapping, your breaking, your hip-hop, that stuff, were you able to bring that into the second line, or were they really separate for you?
No, I brought it in. Tap dancing, and I took up something that most people never took up. But I went to dance class with my sister. I took up ballerina. I took up tapping and all that with my sister.
In the dance studio?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I wore leotards. I knew I wore the little boy tights and all that. Yeah, I was tall and a fag and all that. I dressed in that because my mama put me into that. But that's how we got exposed. So for me to put on leotards, it wasn't nothing for me to do it. I wasn't scared. But, you know, back then that was taboo. They looked at you like, man, ain't no man gonna be doing that. But I love music. I done danced at Loyola, at dance recitals, at Loyola University. You know what I'm saying? I done danced all over the city for different things. But it was like any other family. You expose your kids to the things that they like music, and you don't set no bars and saying, well, this is just going to be the genre that I want you to listen to. Music is a bigger genre. You have to allow your kids to just listen to it and take from it what they get and proceed. We listen to Oldie But Goodies. Right now today, Oldie But Goodie, come on. You said, boy, this song was made in 19. You wasn't even much born, but I could adapt to it because you know why? It was played in my household. I listened to it too much. That became music that I still listen to today. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, everything with my dancing and corporate, I put it together and I always took something from my dance skills and made it a patent move. I had a move where I could be second line and then dancing, and I spin, take my leg and cross it around and spin. Remember how Michael Jackson used to do that spin and jump up on his toes? Well, I did that same thing. But my thing was, when I spin and come up on my toes, I walked on my toes. So I'm walking. I ain't just froze like Michael did. I took it, stole that move from him, and I walked on my toes. So now I'm second lining on my toes. Then I would go down in the cross position and come out that spin. So you got guys like Charlie Brown from the Sidewalk Steppers. I used to challenge him in dancing. They got a guy they call Squirt, big old tall guy. This is the guy put his foot up in the leg like he got a banjo and be playing. Me and him dance. You see his footwork? That's the footwork I had. Me and him used to go at it. You know what I'm saying? So these guys that I still see today that I pay homage to, I smile because I knew these guys along the way remembered me. They got a guy I used to call Motown Sound. He pull a rope. He see me, he say, boy, these dudes knew you before you was walking, you know. And my trademark was the Gallo Show. On Jackson and Claiborne, they had a Gallo Show. And on the side of that Gallo Show, they got a big old billboard. They had a big old billboard sign. I would run in front of the second line 4 or 5 blocks, clam up on that building, get up on top of the Gallo Show, then clam up on that billboard. So when the second line swung on Claiborne and Jackson, I'm on that billboard cutting up, and you got cameras, everybody up there looking like, man, look at Skelly. And my brother held the videotape for me for 13 years, and he ended up losing it. He had a scene of me on the Gallo Show cutting up. I can remember me having on some, I had took some jeans and bleached them and put holes in them. You know how you bleach your jeans, then you cut the holes in it? I'm up there with holding pants on and a t-shirt, dirt. I look like I just come out of hell somewhere. I just cutting up second line. So when they swing the corner, my auntie, she knew about it. And every time I called home, she would tell me. And I'm going to tell y'all this. The video that they took of me, that's on Facebook now, everybody see it. And they like, man, I saw you on Facebook. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was last year for joining them second line Father's Day. Terry was on the video. If you ever see it, he's on my page. I shared it with everybody, so you might run across. But anyway, she out there wiping my face. You can see her. Me and her second line, I guess she wiped my face.
Skelly, you told us a story one time. Not long after you were paralyzed, you were in a chair in your grandparents' house, and you heard the second line going.
Yeah, without
can you tell that story again?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever had a chance to get out the house. Well, it was the first time I wanted to get out the house. And we were standing on St. Anne downtown, right off of Arlene's And I come home, and my room was in the back of the house, but I'm laying in bed. I don't know if I was watching stories or something was on, and I could hear music. So when I heard the music, I hear the But Rebirth and them used to come around the neighborhood. They used to practice in the neighborhood. So they didn't have permits. They just would get their uniform, their bands, their stuff and come around the neighborhood. So I'm looking, I'm listening, but I'm like, so I run to the front door and I peep out the front door. I don't see nobody. So I go back, I say, Grandma, I say, would you please let me down the steps? I got on my pajamas now. I ain't putting on no clothes. I just got on my pajamas and my slip. I'm like, Grandma, let me down. My grandmother's like, no, get your grandpa to let you down. I'm like, Jake, come let me down. I won't. Where you going? I said, I'm trying to go see, listen to the band. Excuse me. They like, listen to the band. No, we ain't letting you out that door. Man, I went to that door again and seen people coming around the corner. And I'm like, please let me down. They ain't want to let me down. So I had knew how to pop a wheel in. This was a big old hard one of the new, the manual chairs. It was all iron. I backed up from the screen door and popped the wheel like this. Hit the door, the screen door popped open and with the little spring on. You know how it spring open? Bam, hit the wall and it come back. I looked out the door again. I see the people steady come. I see this time I'm going out of steps. I picked it up again. Hit the door. Boom! The door flapped open. I went down the steps. Bam! I hit the ground. I'm trying to get up so the guys come around at the second line and they pick me up, put me in a chair, dust me off, and I end up filing the second line. And when I got finished, they brought me back home. But that was my first time going to the second line. They pushed me. I enjoyed it. And from then it was like a bug. If I couldn't get there with you, I start off early in the morning and I get there right on time. I done caught cabs where I done paid almost $30 to go to the second line. So you know I got to be a junkie behind second line. And anytime you give up $30 in cab fare, in New Orleans, I had to come from uptown. I'm calling everybody. Rachel, could you come give me the ticket to second? Oh, Skelly, I can't come get you. Danella, I need to go to second. I can't. You? Oh, Skelly, I can't come get you. I'm like, say, man, I got some gas money for y'all. I can't come get you. I call a cab. Cab ain't never the fuel man. The cab, I see, how much I owe you? I said, $25. I'm like, oh, man, you got it bad, son. You got it bad. If you're going to pay $25, I said, I won't be paying $25 to get out tonight. Well, I came down here. I'm somebody gonna bring me home, mm-hmm. And that's how it, you know, came. So I be the camaraderie you get when you meet people from different wards. Second line in the ninth ward is different because all the people in the ninth ward come out for that second line because that's the biggest thing in the ninth ward. Whereas uptown is a big thing all the time. People come out, but you know, across the river is a different atmosphere. They got a second line group across the river. You know, I ain't never been to none across the river. I never been to nine times across the river. Everything dealing with on this side, I've been. Nine times is all black parade across the river, truck parade that you know they go to. I never been to that, and it's sad to see I'm a New Orleanian and I ain't been across the river. I'm sorry, I don't know nothing about across the river. I will get lost across the river. You could drop me off in the neighborhood and tell me find my way back, and I'm like, really? I won't be going nowhere.
Where's the bridge?
Yeah, well, I don't see no kind of iconic. They go to Mississippi. I can go that way. I'm getting cool. You don't see nothing. Stop. But they got a lot of places across the river look just like over here. Mm-hmm. Houses, bars, it look the same. You're like, man, it look like my street right here.
Over the years, as you've been second lining in the chair over the years, and your chair has obviously gotten, you know, better, more sophisticated and lighter, but how have you sort of like molded your second lining, your dancing in the chair? Like, where'd your footwork go? Like, what's your footwork now?
My footwork is my upper body. My feet don't work. I move my feet a little bit, but I move my feet just to show people that, you know what I'm saying, I'm not totally paralyzed. Most people see me and say, man, that man is not paralyzed. He's moving his legs. He's doing too much moving. Paralyzed people don't do all that. Well, actually, I am paralyzed, but I'm called the pararesis, and the pararesis is a person that has not full mobility, but just some mobility. So I'm no longer classified as a paraplegic, but a pararesis. A quadriplegic is a person that does not have no movement from the neck down. A pararesis or a paraplegic is a man who's paralyzed from the waist down that does not have no movement. Well, this leg is my stronger leg. I could do that when I first do that. So, I mean, all that came from practice and error of pain and just not allowing my body to lock up and not being able to have my legs bend like they used, that's all I was saying. My legs gonna continue to bend like they normally would in case I have to walk. That's why I walk on them. That's why I pull up, get a chair, pull my chair up. I've never allowed myself to become totally what they would say bedridden or paralyzed because of the simple fact that I knew a lot of my friends didn't or couldn't come get me. So, you know, it would be in my best interest to keep myself in this shape and fun. And after 4 years, if you look at me parade, or if you look at me after 4 hours at a second line, I still have to get home.
Yeah.
And I get home. I push.
You push home.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I be tired. My body be locked up. But I push. I incorporate moves that I used to do before I got paralyzed.
Yeah.
And
like what?
It's kind of hard. I don't know. You know, I got so many. I don't even have names for some of the moves. My daughter, they was talking about it. They call her, she started doing this dance and called it doing the wheelchair where she used to do her own, like, do the skelly. But she be doing this and doing a dance. Look, she be talking about do the skelly and she take her hands like she turning a chest. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They used to make fun of me doing that. Like, oh, y'all got to do the skelly. So, you know, my moves is more upper body, my hands, you know, but a lot of stuff I do, it's therapeutic and it's rehabilitation, all in that fashion for me. I mean, I tell people I could be out in the crowd of 1,500 people and I don't see them people. All I hear and see is that band, and that's where I want to be, behind that band, listening and feeling that beat. I could have a million people with cameras. I'm not looking at cameras. I'm not feeling no camera. I ain't trying to frown, pose, unless it's a still picture. But when I'm in the music, my mind is like that experience some people say I had that outer body experience. My body could be right here, but I'm my spirit. You know what I'm saying? I'm flying above the whole second line. That's my spirit right there. I'm like, and you see the expression on my face, say, boy, he going ham. People like, man, Skelly, boy, he be good cutting up. And that's not just to be for show. That's how I be feeling. When I'm feeling the music, you're going to see me dance. If I ain't feeling the music, you would see me, you be saying, damn, Danella, Skelly must be feeling bad. He ain't did a move, a 1-2, a 1, like last week. I couldn't do nothing. My head was hurting. So all I did was walk behind the second line. All the people that see me, every girl came past me. Oh, the second line must be bump. I'm looking like, what you mean? Oh, the second line got to be bump. You ain't dancing. I said, well, oh, no, it ain't the second line today. My head is hurting. I can't do nothing with no headache, you know, but.
And you said you'd like to be behind the band. Is there like a part in the street? There's a part in the street that's the best to be, right? Or like
well,
a part
for me,
in the parade?
For me, you know, most people like to be behind the band and get a few feet where they can hear the band good. I like the vibration of the music, so I like to be right on the heels. Say, for instance, I'm either two rows or a row behind the band. I'm either right there on the tuba player butt or the bass drum player or the snare drum player. But I want to be right there where that music is. I'm hearing the horns, I'm hearing the trombone, I'm hearing the tuba, and I hear that boy with that cow horn. Boop, 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 boop. Or that man with that glass bottle. Beep, beep, beep. You hearing that. And I'm feeding off of all that. I might hear that. The bing, bing, bing sound might make me wave my head. Or I might go to clapping my hands if I hear the dude beating on the cowbell. You know what I'm saying? And the music itself is so therapeutic. It's just like the food in New Orleans. It's a gumbo. Everybody had their own little flavor on their own little way of fixing their gumbo. We all don't prepare the same way. But at the end of the day, it all comes out the same as a finished product. You know what I'm saying? And when you think about the groups that them played in the city, the Reverts, the Pinstripes, and all these new groups, the Pinettes, the True, TBC, all these people also took Lil's Knickknacks from other groups and made it their own. Like, the Pinettes has been an all-girl group. You know what I'm saying? They have to establish their own style. You heard me? And it's like flavor because the guy Travis is with the True. I love the Truth. I love the 8. I love Rebirth. I love Rebirth because I came up listening to Phil. I've been knowing Phil since Phil was Phil when Phil fresh was fresh out of Clark. Him and my wife were battling about who run Esplanade. That was the whole chant. How they say something. We run Esplanade. So they was always battle because both of their schools is on Esplanade. John Mack is further down his way. They further up. So that was the battle of Esplanade and all that. But the camaraderie with these guys, I could go to any venue and they playing music. Every young musician, every old musician, anybody dealing with second line music gonna come up to me, shake my hand, greet me some kind of way. And with the music of being in this city, the camaraderie I get from people, I couldn't change it. I wouldn't want to change it. And I would never, ever go nowhere because you'll never find it. On a Sunday, I feel good. I know I don't know if y'all, you know your girl play on CSI? She's on CSI, the black lady played a mortician. She was in Tremie, and she played in Tremie, and I got a chance to meet her. She's so down to earth. I want to meet her again and tell her, man, it's like, I don't know, I wanted to take her picture one time, and the guy, no, this lady came up to me, she's second line, the lady you might see at all on Canal, she always on all the other tradition second line groups. This the lady dresses up like she's an old lady, she dresses up like a baby doll, and she have on all different colors of top hats, but she been doing that for years. So that being said, she wanted to take a picture. She wanted a picture of the lady. And she said, "You actually could you take a picture for me?" So I asked her, like, "No, I don't want to take you to take a picture of me. I want somebody to take a picture of me and you first, and then I'll take my picture with her. Yeah, because I like you." So we were talking from then on. Then the police wanted her to take a picture with him. He's like, "Well, look, where my boy at? He's a good photographer." "Well, there you go. Come here, my friend. Take my picture with him." So from then on, it was like she saw me again at the second line. It was passing, and she came out the crowd and come gave me a hug. I got it on my I got a picture of it on some old memory card that I have from some of my old phones. I got a lot of pictures and stuff that I wanna put in and get dig or put in the portfolio or stuff like that. But
yeah. You were saying on Sundays I feel good. Earlier, I think before we were turned the recorders on, you were saying like there's a reason on Sundays to second line that you kind of let go of stress and, you know, like it's therapeutic not only physically but in other ways.
You know, it's like for me, I can go through something during the week and Sunday comes up and everybody knows it's a second line and that's one time that I can go outside and relieve whatever stressful things that I'm going through and not have to humbly, physically or verbally hurt nobody. I have to curse you out. I have to get no organ of confrontation with you. All I have to do is put myself in a situation where I can hear this music. And 5 minutes after I'm out there, I'm not mad no more. After the second line, I pretty much forgot about that, but that's what music does for me. If I'm anywhere in the venue and the music is playing right, I'm going to forget what I'm mad about and focus on that because it stimulates me. It motivates me, then it calms me down, too. You know, and I think I learned that early on from being incarcerated for 13 years. And if I didn't have music, y'all seen the guy that was at the second line last Sunday that dressed up in a dress? Mm-hmm. Well, we and him was in Allen Correctional Center together.
Really? What years were you there?
From 90-something from like 94 to 98 or something like that. And on a Saturday, we were going to Big Yard. We going to Big Yard on the weekend. So I got my cassette player with my music and my little tapes. A guy threw a Rebirth tape in a garbage can. I took it out the garbage can, taped it in, fixed it up, and put it in another case. He came on the yard one day, so he's like, "What you listening to, homie?" I said, "Man, I'm listening to that Rebirth. I'm on Ferret and Washington at the second line." He's like, "Man, you ain't listening to no Rebirth." So I gave him the earphones. He hit. He like, "No." So he's second line behind my chair. We go around the yard. When I tell you the people in the tower, everybody on the Big Yard wondering what we listening to. Half of them probably thought we had to drunk some hoochie and we was drunk or something because we really on the street like it's Mardi Gras time. So the people say, "What y'all listen to second line music?" And that's what I mean. Whenever we get together, I'm going to make him tell you the story. So y'all.
Oh, that was him. Yeah, that was with you doing that.
He said, me and him used to cut up so hard. He said, he'll catch me at the second line. I know what he'll say. "See, Skelly? Soon when we was at Allen working out for, we was getting ready for when we were getting ready to come home." I was like, "Man, I told you I was coming out here for this." So we always see each other and we greet each other and tell people that we were in jail listening to this music. And it's a love for it that you will never lose. I got a friend right now, got a life sentence from killing a guy at the Caledonia behind second line. And they had a trophy. He felt like they beat him out the trophy to give it to the guy downtown because he was from up here.
What kind of trophy?
Second line trophy.
Oh, really?
They used to have a second line contest every down at the Caledonia, and he went down there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that was on a Tuesday night. Now, this guy's in jail and been in jail for the last 20-some years. He called on the phone, and guess what he want to do when he called you on the phone?
The music.
He said he wants you to get by the band. He want to hear the band. He can holler at you a few minutes. He want to hear that band. My little partner, Val had him on the phone. Val like, "Man, this man calling back, man. You want to hear the phone?" We went up there to see him, and he had a group called the Mellow Fellas. The Mellow Fellas was a group that originated with the Young Men. we bought that group back out. But then with the tripping with the power, struggling about who we're going to be president, I'm like, man, I don't want to be part of this because I ain't going to be in the middle of y'all trying to stop y'all from fighting about saying who the president is and all that. You know.
I mean, we can continue talking about art.
Yeah.
I'm going to run to the back.
Okay. Do you think that, like, in the 80s, there was so much happening with, like, evolution in brass band music was changing, hip-hop was blowing up, b-boying was blowing up. Do you think that, like, hip-hop and b-boy had an influence on the brass band music here and on the way that people would second line?
Yeah, because now, at one time, second line music has always been perceived as traditional jazz music. But when you take the younger generation after, you know, jazz music has been traditional so long that that other generation coming up feels the need to make that gumbo. Tap with this here little traditional, add a little flavor to it. Give it a little, take an R&B song and add it with a little traditional jazz song and see what you come out with. And that's what it is. It's a melting pot. Whereas we take the format of jazz music, take an R&B song and incorporate it into this jazz music to where everybody appreciates it. That's why this is how you find out what street have street, what bands have street cred by the music they play.
Oh, yeah?
Traditional bands are only for people that's young. They want to hear the hip hop. Excuse me. Hello, what's up, Ken? Huh? For what? I'm doing an interview. That's why I ain't call you. I'm on an interview right now. I'm doing an interview with two people. I've been on the interview for the last hour. We and I'm doing it now. I'm on the phone getting retarded. I'm recording our conversation on the audio. All right.
Do you think that gumbo was happening with the dance too?
Yeah.
Was changing?
Yeah, because as the years went on, the music changed. If you go back to the traditional times before Rebirth. Rebirth was the group that made that transformation into changing the music, changing the genre of people that listen to it, and changing the format from being traditional, you know what I'm saying, into, I would like to know what name of jazz they, what type of jazz they call that, you know what I'm saying, but traditional was mainly traditional songs. It had second line group stay with traditional songs. I don't think you have as many second line bands as you have. But when you allow the artist, the artiste, as a individual to tap into other resources and other music, then take that and incorporate it into jazz, that's just like the bounce music in New Orleans. Bounce became bounce because we took and remixed everybody's song that had a hot song and put it and incorporate it in some bounce with a Trigger Man beat. That's just a track that's empty in a Trigger Man beat. And that made bounce come out. All right, bounce was a formation, an aspect of music that came from what? Luke Skywalker, when he had Get It Girl. When the girls started shaking for Luke Skywalker. So New Orleans took it, because he come down here and they put their own flavor to it. Now you got different genres. You got Big Freedia. Big Freedia is a gay rapper, but Big Freedia is a gay rapper and been on the Larry Kimmel show. He done been on all kind of stuff, and he getting paid. He done did a party. He did Beyonce mama birthday party down here. So I mean, if you can do that, you know he ain't cheap. It wasn't like no more price tag. What you want Big Freedia for us to, for me? What you want Freedia for to come through for my party? Whatever it was, they paid her.
Probably more than 1,500.
Huh. Yeah, probably about 20 racks.
Yeah.
You heard me? Because they be getting paid money. When you doing them type of private shows, that's money. And then again, that's your money.
Yeah.
You know? But everything with the city starts off traditional. And it filters out to something else because you got mixed genres getting in. As in like jazz musicians playing jazz music for so long. Then here you got these R&B cats been playing and we get together. mm-hmm. put our heads together and collaborate and say, well, this is the music we want to bring out. Mm-hmm. That's what my cousin Wardy did when Wardy came out with the Stooges. Mm-hmm. A bunch of young cats, fresh out of high school, and played in high school together and got a band together, and now they playing music. But they want to play the music that's differently from the tradition that allows you to... No, they're not playing that song. You know how you go to a parade in high school and your band playing, and you know one of the hottest songs on the radio, they done practicing, and all of a sudden they playing. You're like, no, that ain't Michael Jackson Thriller. Mm-hmm. What they playing? You hear, now when you hear the horn playing, you hear the horn playing, oh, that is Michael Jackson. You can sing it, and no one even had a word because you can hear from what the band playing. Yeah. That's what it is with second line music. You may not start off knowing what the music is, but once you go to listen, then you, man, that ain't, I know they're not playing Billie Jean, Not My Lover. Mm-hmm. But they playing it from a jazz formation. Yeah. And the people loving it. They vibing off it. We shaking our heads. You can tell if the music doing something. Somebody, you got people with bikes hopping around and holding their bike holding. You got a man on the ice chest. He doing something. You might have somebody just stand up on the corner there, but it's going to move everybody in its only unique way. You know, and you, like, you surfing through the crowd, you're going to catch everybody else. It's like this, my Lapana, he's on the show with the girl, the lady who does the pit bull rescuing. His name is Earl. He brought one of his friends here for her first Mardi Gras. So it was like 2 years. It was her second year this year. Baby, she was lit up like a Christmas tree running around with that camera. Oh, look at the kids. The whole family dressed up in Indian suits. She's flashing. She don't know what to do. She just like this all night. Look, she just running around and she could tell she was enjoying it. She said, I love it. The first time I came here, I fell in love with it and I ain't haven't stopped coming since. And that's what it is. When you from here, you can understand what it is. But when you're not and you come here and you see it, you just automatically love it. And once you get around people that can show you this, that, most people come here, they're like, man, New Orleans is a bad place. I'm telling you, don't you get caught. Don't go past the bridge down there. You go past the bridge and you're in a white area, a black area. You go further down this way. So they're telling you all this type of stuff in where that's the place where you need to go, because that's where everything goes down outside of the quote-unquote Bourbon Street atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know? You ain't going to catch no second line going down Bourbon Street on a Sunday. Oh, no. Now, you might catch a celebrity throwing something and you got a band coming through there for a minute. Yeah, but you know, that's not, you know, most people, that's why you see a lot of people at the second lines now. You see just as many blacks and just as many whites now. And at one time, you didn't see that. If you go back to the history of second line, you was one or two, three or four, five or six. Now you got just as many now. You know what I'm saying? They out there, they comfortable in their little shorts and their shoes. Half of them you may not know, that's lawyers. I done went to court and the dude said, man, you better second line. I said, you a lawyer? He said, yeah. I said, no shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no. But they be out there. Yeah. They not dressed like lawyers with suits on. They got on a t-shirt with some jeans. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Probably got a little brew in their hand. You know what I'm saying? It's a day I can relax. I ain't got to be worrying about reading no case file a day and worrying about who going, you know, I could. And then you don't go out there looking for nothing to happen. But everybody else used to do that back in the game. Oh, man, something bound to happen in the second line. I ain't going to second line. Somebody going to get hurt. It's not like that no more. Everybody know that. Everybody come out there. But, you know, the last serious shooting when that lady, Cotton, got shot, you know, it really messed with me. Because I, being a victim of being shot at the second line, so I felt her pain and everybody that got hurt that day. I felt like I was helpless because I was right there when it happened. I'm right behind the band, like I see. That's where I won't be, behind the band, and that's where it happened at, right behind the band. As soon as the band got past, he come running out. I turned around and went the opposite way. I ain't never flew with the crowd. I turned around and went this way. But as a result, I'm seeing people laying down, falling in the grass. People have been shot. He done shot several people, but he didn't shoot the guy that he was shooting.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Back in the days when I was raised, if they had something for you, they had it for you. Now they don't care if you got your children with you. You know, one of my little friends, my daughter's boyfriend got killed, ex-boyfriend got killed in 7 with his daughter. The girl was in his arms when they come got her. He covered her.
Came up a lot in Francis's interview too about how the rules of the game have changed a lot. But I don't know why. I don't know if you have any idea of what it is that.
Let me say something. Everybody not eating. And when I say everybody not eating, people are looking for the easiest escape reason, the easiest route to come up. When I mean, Rachel and you work hard every day. Like I said, I'm my post outside your house every day and watch you go to work. You've been doing it now since I've been staying across the street for you for the last 20 years. But now you done got your nice car and you're dressing real nice and the house look nice. And now I'm feeling them 20 years been working you out a little money and you ain't doing no more than what I've been doing for the last 20 years, making my bills meet. But I'm using my money wisely. People look at that as a meeting the restaurant, but she got something up. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go try to take what she have, whereas I'm not gonna get with her. Ask her what type of work she do, ask her, could she teach me that job she got and get the skills she got to get that job and then get paid the same thing she get paid possibly. Now she can pass the trade to me that I can pass to somebody else. They want it right now. They want their retribution right now. If they don't want to work 4 hours, 8 hours and take half of your money and save it for 2 years, 3 years, they want it right now. So if I can go in there and knock your brains out and go in your safe and get $30,000, which I know I ain't gonna keep a year because I'm going to spin it up because it's not my money. I ain't earned it. I don't care. It's here. You cannot nowadays flash. Flash and get your kill. If you're on Facebook and you're putting all your business on Facebook, you can get your kill. If you're on Facebook flashing money, like you got money out your butt, and then people looking like, oh, he got about, let me see how many racks he's here. Oh, that's a, well, he might have about $10,000. Cash. Not in the bank, not traceable, $10,000. Your life worth $10,000, it ain't me. Better him than me, that's the mentality. But to work for it and earn it and walk around with your head up, saying I'm a citizen, a pillar of the community, and I earned this. This wasn't gave to me. I didn't take it from somebody. I worked hard for it. That said something different. We were so used to looking at the people that were getting it right then and there, and they wanted to be. I wanted to be that one that get it right then and there. My mama made sure I wore everything I wanted to wear for. At the age of 16, I was dressing like I was 21. I'm wearing $125 standard belt slack. I'm wearing $125 leisure suit that I go get paid, get sold on me for Harry Hyman's for the second line in. I'm wearing almost $1,500 worth of stuff for one day at a second line. Now being 47 years old, being a little wiser, I sure wish I could have all that little money back then. Mm. You know, I blew a lot of money on jewelry. I blew a lot of money on clothes. I ain't had no gambling habit. I had a dressing habit.
You know, people say sometimes, you know, we'll ask, well, you know, if people are struggling to pay their bills, to make ends meet, to put food on the table, why spend all this money and energy and time at second lines, putting on second lines? Why do people do it?
Well, everybody, for me, you know, the story, it entails something different. Mm-hmm. For me, I do it because the love I have for it. I do it for all the guys who showed me how to second line along the way that are not here. I do it for the camaraderie of Mr. Bucket, who showed me and gave me the first, you know, the ability to second line. I do it for the people that come out there every Sunday to see what they see. I don't get paid. I don't put on a show to be seen, but I get out there to let somebody know that me being in this condition doesn't mean that my life stops. I still do normal things. I still enjoy music like you enjoy, but I express it a little different from the chair. Mm-hmm. I might can't get up and do my little 1-2, spin around, hop up on my toe, but when you see me pick this wheelchair up and spin it around and go this way and spin it around, go back that way, stop, put it down, get up out the chair, crawl, all that's different. You ain't seeing that. This is why, as the years went on with me, I perfected. Me and Joe perfected, but a lot of people don't know. Joe the one taught me how to pop wheelies, but I just perfected it a little better than him. He don't do as much as I do in the show. I just do more than him. Mm-hmm. I feel it's a need for me when I go to the second line. If I'm at a second line, I'm doing this. Boy. Now, if you see me in the second line, I'm coming out of the second line, I'm bucking. You're like, oh, he into it. Mm-hmm. Then the band is doing what he's doing. Then you're going to see that crowd rocking like that. You're going to see that crowd participation. Everybody going to be singing a little chant. You know what I'm saying? They might play, I can feel it. They go, everybody be singing that. You know what I'm saying? You know, bent over. You know what I'm saying? Everybody be seeing that. That's when you know the crowd is feeling what you playing. And that's what they come out there for. They come to hear you play what they come out there for. And it's not about you no more. It's about entertaining the crowd and giving them what they pay for. If you playing in a band and I give you $1,500 to pay for me for 4 hours, I want you to give me your best. And I want it for 4 hours, not 3.5. I don't want you walking 5 minutes, and then you play, and then I don't want you running me. Rebirth made a living running people, because when the parade get behind,
yeah,
and then Rebirth play that song, boom, 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 boom. That's that run. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Look, everybody like this. Rebirth.
Yeah. Make way for the Rebirth.
Everybody got old people there. How they getting left? You know what I'm saying? Here they like, what they doing? Man, they trying to get the second line over because the police made them tell them, look, y'all behind, yeah, schedule this, that, and the third. Yeah. You know, but all that being said, everybody brought something different to the table as far as that. But traditional second line was good, and it's good for traditional reasons and, you know, that traditional thing. I still love traditional music, but I get off on that. That R&B jazz.
Let's go hear some.
Huh, bruh? I'm in agreement.
Ah, bruh.
We can talk.